Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. Today is September the 20th in the year 2013. I say that so you'll know it's a live show. That means you can call in if you want to. And we're going to have a guest tonight. I'll give out the toll-free number. And I would like it, if you do call in, to keep your calls directed at her and what she's talking about, instead of going off onto my stuff. Okay, the toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And Julia's here tonight, too, so we're going to both be doing this together.
Hello.
Okay. All right. My guest is Deborah Thunderbeat. And where are you located right now, Deborah?
I'm in Sedona, Arizona.
Oh, you're out there. Okay.
Yeah.
We have done a lot of stuff out there, and there's a tremendous energy out there.
Absolutely. I just love it here. When I first came to Sedona, my friends brought me here, and they said it was totally my energy. And I said, I've never heard of this place. Brought it out here, and I totally recognized it. Totally. And I moved here after that, after 6 months when I first got here. So.
Well, I know when we go out there, you happen to be there, but I didn't know you were living there permanently.
Oh, yeah. I've been here 13 years now, and it's my home. Yeah, I know when you came out, it was wonderful. You know, I got to perform before you talked and set the energies.
Yes, I've known you for many, many years because you've been at so many different conferences and things that I've been to.
Yes, I totally honor you. You're an incredible person for knowledge for the world, and you've transformed so many people.
Well, I think if a lot of people out there have gone to these metaphysical conferences, they probably have heard you, because Deborah does wonderful music, and you write a lot of your own music too, don't you?
Everything I have is composed by me. I do all the layers. I have 7 solo CDs out and some DVDs. I've been working on now more multimedia stuff and. And I've just written a new book.
Yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about. But I know when I've been at the different conferences, your music, it has a definite energy, and it does. People in the room really are affected by it.
Yeah, it's I call it activation music. It's totally keys into your chakras. There's certain special activational tones that I use, and I've researched on my own, actually, how each key affects the body, mind, and soul. So there's like a CD I have called Mayan Landing. I call that Galactivation.
But, you know, when we go out to Sedona, to me, the energy is so powerful out there that I didn't think a lot of people could live in that energy full time.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. Actually, I've been more creative here. I've been always all creative all my life and a musician for 38 years. And then when I moved here, my creativity became even doubled. Mm. It was doubled. So I'm fine here. I think I'm totally at home here.
Well, we've heard that if you have any kind of an emotion when you go out there, that the emotion is amplified.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of people don't like it, because it affects them. They're too hyper, I guess you would say.
Yeah. Well, it enhances everything. That if you have issues in your body or your emotions, your heart or whatever, things that you haven't forgiven yet, then it's going to be amplified. Yeah. So you have to release, learn how to forgive and forget and forgive the other person, and resolve and process all your issues, and then you're fine here. So I think I've done all that work. I've been doing the work for many years. I'm a sound healer, and I have I've designed a whole sound healing through the chakra sessions with, and I have a whole chakra series, which includes a CD, DVD, book, and a poster with yin on there. And I developed that when I was actually in 1997, came through to me when I was in Egypt. I was overnight in the Great Pyramid, when I walked out, I was like 4 o'clock in the morning, I walked out, touched the sand, and I heard this thunder voice came in and says, color, light, sound. 777 is the sacred number, color, light, sound. And I went, oh, they're talking about the rainbow colors. And they're telling me that there's an activational tone for each color. So, and then I was studying chakras for the last 10 years before that. So I said, oh, that's the chakras they're talking about. And I totally put it together, and I wanted to go home right away to write the CD that I felt I was getting information on. And it is. It was profound activational tones for each chakra, and I've been using that since 2002. And I've had profound results with it. People, I have testimonies that people have relieved physical pain, emotional, releases, getting rid of their old stuff, their blockages, insomnia. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So, balancing. I just did an 84-year-old man came down, flew down from Canada to have my chakra session and my new 22 DNA. Activation sessions, which I do now, and he said, "Oh my God, I was walking with a cane for the last 15 years, and then one day, the next day after the session, he goes, I don't need it. I don't have to look at my feet where I'm walking. I don't need it." And he contacted me just yesterday, and it's been about 10 days. He said, "I haven't used the cane since. Whatever you've done, you've balanced me, and I can walk fine now." So.
You know, we're doing the same thing, but I know we're all working with energy, and there is a lot of very powerful things out there that the average person is not even aware of.
Right.
So it's beginning to come back. And, you know, the use of color and sound has been around, since the days of Atlantis and probably before that.
Yeah.
So all of this is being brought back right now.
Exactly. It's totally ancient knowledge that we have forgotten. So... and it's time to bring it back. I mean, it's so simple. You know, everyone's looking for this complicated answer, and the answers are very simple. It's color, light, sound.
Yeah.
Totally.
Before we go any further, I just wanted to ask you, is Thunderbeat your real name, or is that a name that you came up with?
I was given that name from the elders, Shawnee elders, many, 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 many years ago for my... power of sound, using sound to awaken people. And I've been playing drums for most of my life. And when they heard me play, they said, "Wow, you are Thunderbeat," and they gave me that name. So
that makes sense, because I was thinking, unless you were an Indian, I don't know how you would be your natural name. You know.
Well, I am half Native. I am. My mother was a Choctaw. And my father was Italian, so there's a lot of Native roots there and information that comes through from my work from the Native cultures.
Uh-huh. Well, my husband, they had Cherokee in his background.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of us. It's all sprinkled through many of us, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. But... Well, I have known you for many, many years, and we've been to a lot of UFO conferences and things, too, together, all the metaphysical conferences, the UFO conferences, and I did have a session with you, so I knew that you did have what you suspected to be encounters at that time.
Yeah.
But now you've taken it further, and you've written a book about all this and expanded on it, haven't you?
Oh, my God, it has, since that session, I think that was in 2004, the session, and I have put the pieces of the puzzle together, as you could say, of what was really going on. What happened was your session really started the beginning of the clarity, and the clarity was I was taken up in a ship playing in the driveway, broad daylight in upstate New York, taken up in a ship, and while I was being taken up, my mother... came running out of the house, and they took her up too. So, and then you were there's a name that they gave me, and you were wondering, well, what does that mean? I remember you asked me that. Remember, and they called me Flying Eagle with Many Wings, And that's Native American. I mean, that's, I've talked to a lot of Native Americans since then. Matter of fact, a few Hopi came to my lecture last night, and they were saying that's how we got our names originally, was from the Star People. And they call us those names, you know, you know, whatever we have accomplished and who we are, that's our names, you know, from, and they, so they called me Golden, Flying Eagle with Many Wings, and that was, that's a pretty high honor name. So it took me many years after your session to figure that out, because I remember that, that name came through, and we were both going, well, what does that mean? I said, I have no clue. So then I've had other sessions after that with your students, because you're so busy, Miss Dolores.
Yes.
It takes a year or so to get on a session with you. So I went to your website, and I found one of your students that lives right in Flagstaff, Mina Anderson. She's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And that's,
well, I know when we did the session, there were a lot of question marks, because so much of it was, well, how do I want to say, it's hidden in symbolism, kind of like dream symbols, you know, where you think you see something, and it's not actually that, it's something else, like screen memories. So there was a lot of it that was in, was questioned, because we couldn't get all the information. And
right.
I remember in the session, they kept laughing and thinking, she hasn't got a clue. She doesn't even remember what happened.
Right. Well, they that I had so many encounters, and we only had time for that. I think we spent 4 hours, but we only had time for like two encounters, and it was just tapping on the surface of what really happened. And I remember the second part of the session. They actually family. The Star Family, whatever, brought me through a hologram. I found out who that was.
What?
Later, it's the Ashtar Command that took me up on that ship. They're called the Ashtar Command. And that was that session. And they actually have many species on that. Hello? Many species on that ship. Yes.
Well, the little gremlins get in our phones and like to play sometimes.
Oh, I know. It's been happening to me now with a couple of times when I talk about the ships and the names of them, and I'm finding out. Anyway,
well,
it's real important information that people know that we have a lot of help here.
Because that must have been the trigger point. So,
yeah,
same Star Family.
This has happened before, and then it'll just all of a sudden blank out, or there'll be static or music, all kinds of weird things.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So, do you remember what you said? Because you probably weren't aware that it stopped.
Yeah,
so.
We couldn't hear you. You were cut off. Even
oh,
though
wow.
You were still on.
Okay, are we live?
Being on the ship and the Star Families and
right, and the ship was the Ashtar Command.
Okay.
And they were called Ashtar Command, and they were I recognized a couple of people on that ship they said I've known them I've been on the ships many times and I've known them. That's why they were familiar to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where we left off. And then after that, I know I'm going to tell you, I've had a couple of times they've cut me off, you know, and with this information.
I always call it the gremlins. They like to play with the lines.
Yeah. But
and our producer sometimes has problems, and he said sometimes it doesn't happen to anybody else but us.
Well, we're just high-energy beings, and we deal with high-energy subjects.
And that's what does it. It appears with the lines, okay?
Right.
But no, I just remember bits and pieces of the first session we did, but I know it had a lot of what you call screen memories in there, that what you were remembering was strange, but it was not what really happened. And
right.
You got to peel those screen memories off before you get to the real truth.
Right. That's what I was saying. They actually put me in a hologram while I was driving. I was driving to Jim's house, and he said it's going to take 30 minutes to get there, and it ended up being almost 3 hours to get there. And I was
yeah.
the road was repeating itself, the same curve, same tree, same curve. And I'm like going, what is going on here? And then they were, I felt like I was in this dome of light, and everything was echoing all over the place. That was what I had when I had the session. Plus, there were balls of light that looked like street lights, but they had no poles. I remember that.
Yeah, that was the session we did.
Yes, that's the session we did. And then the pieces of the puzzle have come together since then. That was in 2004. I mean, there's so many pieces of the puzzle. I was so excited about telling you, but I know you're so busy. And I actually, you're in my new book. You're in there.
So you put that, what we discovered in there, and then you expanded on it. Is that right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I'm glad that the other students could help you with it.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh my God, but there's so many magical things that have happened that came through. The last session I had with Nina Anderson in March, they actually brought me up on the ship and brought me to a planet. And the planet is Sirius. And they said, that's where my family is. I'm from Sirius. And I'm a commander. Yeah. That's why when I read your book, Custodians, Beyond Abduction, I was like, couldn't wait to read that book going, I got to find my story in here. That's something that I've been through.
Well,
and I'm like looking and reading and reading, and I couldn't find any one story, and you even said, I don't know, your story is so different than the other stories that I have. I don't know where to put you, Thunderbeat.
Well, but since then, in my convoluted four, I think it is, three waves, there's a whole lot more about UFOs, and I call it a different perspective, because it goes off in different directions.
Uh-huh.
So in those books, you'll find more that is similar to what you were getting.
Oh, fantastic.
So you were just a little ahead of your time.
That's usually the case. And it's frustrating, actually, at times. Because a lot of my music is for helping the people and the planet. And, for instance, when I received all that information about my Chakra Journey CD in Egypt in 1997, they put me on hold for 4 years. 4 years. They said, not yet to put this CD out. 9/11 happened. And the next day, 9/11 happened, the voices come in and they tell me, okay, it's time now. And I'm like, okay, are you sure? I've been trying to do this for 4 years, I said. So I do listen to the messages, and they're all positive, totally, totally positive. And
What ours is. But we have the same problem. You know, we've been held back on a lot of things because they say, everything has to happen in the right time.
Exactly.
And so many of my clients want to know what's going to happen, and they want it now. But it's not supposed to be that way. They know when things are supposed to come together.
Mm-hmm.
Just be patient, but that's hard sometimes.
Right. Well, I've learned that through the years now. For the last, like I said, that was in 1997. And they always use not yet. They never say the word no. They always say not yet. And it is a timing thing, and it was when the planet really, or the people in the planet actually needed some more healing, and that's when the profound, powerful activational tone CD came out, and I didn't even know what the results were going to be, as in what it's going to do, and it releases fear just by playing it. It's amazing. So it releases that lower vibration of fear. It just soothes you. Release anxiety, stress, and you just listen to it and go, thank you,
That's fantastic.
And it's all natural.
There are people out there who are in the same situation. They're wanting something so bad, and they get discouraged because they don't think it's happening. I want to tell them anyway, you keep working toward it. That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. Like, with you write your music, you write your book, you get everything ready, and then when it happens, you're ready.
Right.
If you sit around waiting for something, then you're going to have to catch up. So it's going to happen, and you know it in your heart. You just prepare for it.
Yeah.
Well, and like you're saying, like you said, they don't say no. They'll say not yet, or when I'd say, well, when? And they say soon.
Right.
Is that they don't use time or my time? because we're talking two different times here.
Right, star time, you know.
Then they say, well, time doesn't exist anyway.
Well, that doesn't help if you're wanting something right now.
Right.
Well, the book, you also said,
in this paper you sent me, you had encounters with angels, too. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I found out that the voice after I got out of the pyramid was the voice that was coming in for the last, for many years, I guess, I don't know how many years, it still comes. It was Archangel Gabriel. Now, that makes total sense because, you know, Gabriel, don't blow your horn or come blow your horn. You know, he's a musician. He must be a musician, you know, because he helped me with the Chakra Journey CD. And I had from the Galactic Academy of Light Federation my 22 DNA activation in 2004, right after I had your session. And that's when it's a session that really taps into who you are, why you're here, your mission, and everything like that. And that's when Archangel Gabriel came in, and he started yelling at me. He goes, "You, I've been working with you for years, and you don't even recognize me." I'm like, whoa. I go to the girl, Carolyn. I go, "Carolyn, do angels, archangels have egos?" And she goes, she starts laughing, and she goes, "No, but they do like to be recognized." She said, I go, "Oh, that's what he just said." So that's what I found out. I was working with angels. And that was about 2004, 2005. And, you know, I've always had this thunder voice that comes in, and they do, the voices change a little bit, and then I can, found out that I work with Metatron and Archangel Michael. So, and then I'm sure there's other ones, but the ETs, they're all connected. They all work together. They're all one, you know. I'm not saying they're ETs, but the angels, what's that?
I said, "Thank you. That's the message I'm always trying to deliver," because they keep saying, "You are us and we are you. We are all combined. It's all together. We are
exactly.
all one. There is nothing separate."
Exactly, yeah. And they, we're all one. We're all one big, huge galactic family, you know. And the thing is, but the angels, they really do have wings. Now, here's the correlation with the Native Americans. The Native Americans call them the people from the bird tribe. Isn't that interesting?
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was very fascinating when I found that out. It's, you know, people from the bird tribe, because they have wings. And actually, I have met up on the ship, I've met people, they have actually, for their hair, is feathers. They actually have feathers for hair.
Okay, I've had sessions like that, and they were very strange, and I'm thinking, "Am I sure I'm hearing this right?" You know, I've had thousands and thousands of sessions. You know?
Oh, I know. I don't know how you can remember anything.
I believe anything that comes through now, because it's all so weird.
Yeah. Well, that's the puzzles I putting together, the pieces of the puzzle that, you know, that there is a bird tribe out there, and that's what the Native Americans call them, and the other religions would call them angels, you know. So, and they are really, they say the bird tribe or the angels are really close here. They're like hovering the earth and waiting for us to ask for help, because this is a free will zone, like you know, and they can't just come in and help, otherwise, you know, the karma situation. So they have to, they're waiting for you to ask, just like, you know, they say prayer. Prayer is good. Ask and you shall receive. Ask, you know, and it's because it's a free will zone. So that's all part of the plan, too. So,
yeah, because we have free will, and they can't make anybody do anything. That's the same thing, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Yep, exactly.
Explain what you mean by 22 DNA activation.
Well, it's actually 22 golden light codes. It talks about that in the Keys of Enoch book.
Yeah.
Which came to me, I remember when I asked you, when you first came out with your book, The Custodians of Beyond Abduction, I asked you, I said, they gave me this number, 202-2030, and you looked at me and you said, "Well, you are obviously connected." And I went, "Well, I still don't know what that means." So I found out many years later that I'm supposed to be doing the 22 DNA activations. As I looked it up in the Keys of Enoch, and it's 10 paragraphs about 22 DNA golden light codes, and they activate your DNA. We have right now, we are have 12 strands of DNA, but it's actually unlimited strands of DNA that we can go into. The 12 DNA strands we have, most of them are dormant. We have, most people have 2 to 3 strands that are activated now, and so that's why I designed my latest CD. I designed a 12 DNA activational CD, but anything beyond that, you can't use. The tones won't work. It has to be administrated by a facilitator that has been trained and ordained, which I have as of last year. It's a lot of training involved in working with many certain angels, actually, Metatron, and it's very profound. The results I've been getting, you find out like who you were or who you are. Like I said, it goes it repairs damaged DNA, which we all have. That's just from the pollution in the air and the foods that we eat creates damage in your DNA. So the activation repairs all that. And it brings you into your higher self, and like all your clairvoyance comes out, your awareness. All that is your awareness is expanding. Psychic abilities, you know what people are feeling, thinking, doing. Like, you know, last night when I was talking in the lecture, I said, "Oh, you can't lie to me. I'm very psychic." You know, when a person was saying a question or saying that they knew something that they didn't know. Anyway, it was the point is. Eventually, we're all going to get there where we can have this awareness, and no one can lie because we'll all know. Imagine a world that way, you know, like that. It would be a beautiful world.
Transparent.
Yeah.
But that's what I was wondering. What was the point of activating 22? If there, you know, he said, we know there's 12 possible, and then 22. What is the purpose? What would be the point of activating that many?
Well, it goes beyond the 12, and it clears out 3 to 5 generations back of karma, because you actually carry on strands of karma of your great-grandmother or great-grandfather that's in your lineage, and it clears all that out from 3 to 5 generations back. I actually, when I'm doing the activations, they do take about 2 to 2.5 hours, that actually these beings come to me and thank me because I'm releasing them and sending them to the light while I'm doing this activation. It's amazing. And the person they don't realize that they're carrying that. You know, they don't know till after, and they go, "Oh my God, I feel so much lighter. I don't feel so tired. I don't feel so dense. I have more clarity. I can breathe better, I can see better, I can hear better." I mean, your whole, those kind of awarenesses expand.
That's kind of like the same thing I do when we have the past life regressions. We find the karma that they've been carrying around for many, many lifetimes, and when it's released, they feel the same way, like a heavy load's been lifted off of them.
Right.
I think we're doing the same thing, it's just different wordage, different...
methods. Yeah,
different methods. We're all headed for the same goal. We're just getting there in different ways.
Right. The mission is the same. Much they're wide awake when I do that, and it's just the karma though. It's karma of their family too, not just their karma, you know, that they're carrying on, and they come into like. It takes, how to explain this, so much involved with it. It takes, you know, sometimes 2 to 3 years for them to absorb all those golden light codes. So during the years, their creativity expands. They're like, "Oh, my God, how do I know this information? I just don't know how I knew this information." Because they've had it in their DNA, and it's been blocked, and now it's coming through. It's coming out. It's just wonderful. It's just amazing stuff. I'm getting so much feedback, you know, every week I get some incredible testimonies, and it's ancient. This is ancient knowledge. This is the ancient Atlanteans and Egyptians used to do this, and it's lost information, I guess. It's there in the scriptures and the hieroglyphs, but they can't read it in the mystery schools, and this is where the training is actually comes from. from that, the mysteries, the Egyptian mysteries.
But now is the time for all of this to come forth. That's what we're finding out.
Yeah, it's exciting,
and, yeah,
isn't
I work
it?
With the Swamis and the Ashrams, and they're telling me, what you're discovering is not new information. They said it's old information. And they said in the old days, it was only reserved for the mystery schools, the secret knowledge, and they only trained certain people.
Right.
But he said, now it seems like you're bringing all this back for the ordinary person. That's
well,
the difference.
They
were
the
never
same.
Allowed to know these things before.
Well, they said the same exact thing through my training, that, you know, the high priests and the pharaohs and the certain people could only know this knowledge. And they said that it's very sacred even now, that you can't just teach and train anybody because you don't want to have it in the wrong hands, you know. So I was initiated and ordained and accepted. They said I was accepted by the White Brotherhood, you know, and all this whole initiation thing. But it's just profound, and I'm excited about this mission. It's very, very, very exciting.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm writing about it in my books, and that's what they're saying. Now you're allowing the ordinary person to have access to this.
Mm-hmm.
Where before, people were killed for having it. You
know? Absolutely.
But we've come a long way.
Yeah, well, we're grateful for that now that it's opening, many doorways are opening, so.
But it is time because, you know, everything is speeded up and people keep saying they can't see any changes, but we know, we see it around us all the time. Everything is changing. Everything is speeding up.
Yeah,
if you're really looking for it, you can see it.
Yeah, time is speeding up. I mean, the shifts, some people are having a hard time with them, and so the work that I do really helps out, you know, the chakra work or the DNA work. But the DNA work, they have to be pretty much ready. They can't have a lot of emotional issues. It would just make them, enhance it even more. So they have to be pretty clear before they receive the 22 DNA activation. But the chakra work, works fine. It relieves all that anxiety and clears out all the old stuff that they've been carrying around and they process. And a lot of people cry during my sessions, which is a very big honor to me because they're releasing. You know, they're releasing the old. So I can tell that way. But this is exciting times we're living in. Shifts are.
That's what I keep. Everybody at my lectures, we're living in a very exciting time.
Yes.
A lot of things are happening right now, and they're positive.
Yes. The beings, I want to tell you, the beings that I have met are totally benevolent. They're beautiful, loving beings. And
yes.
People ask me, like, oh, what do they look like? I go, well, they have arms, legs, they have bodies, but most of them don't have any hair, and they have this glow about them, like, I've met these golden beings, and they are on Sirius. They said, we are the golden ones, and then there's ones that are pink, and then there's ones that have, like I said, the hair with the feathers, and they all have different jobs, like positions. And the one with the feather, they said that was my left commander. He said his name was Salu, and I have a picture of him in my book, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They said that I agreed to this mission to come down here and use color, light, sound to activate, because that's what the Syrians do. They've been using color, light, sound to help raise the vibration of this planet. They showed me a picture of the planet. They said they've been cleaning the pollution off this planet for centuries. They said if we didn't do that, they said, this planet would be like a dead planet. They've been cleaning it and clearing it for centuries. And they showed me the picture of, or whatever it was, a picture of the planet, that here is what the frequency color of the planet is now. And this was just a few months ago, and it was orange. And they said, and they work with the chakras. This is what amazed me. The second chakra, they said it's very emotional right now. People are going through emotional dramas and pain and anxiety, fear. And we are sending the rays of yellow rays of light and the green rays of light, which is bringing you back to your personal power, and green is healing and love. So they said that they've been sending the rays like that of color to raise the vibration of the planet.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But so many people don't understand, and they're going through a lot of confusion right now.
Right.
And anxiety, and they're just all mixed up because they don't really understand what is happening right now.
That makes sense.
It does, yeah.
Wow.
Right.
But I know it has to do with colors.
Well, they said that they have to, like, again, they have to release their, forgive anything from their past of themselves and others, and that's the easiest and fastest way to release it so they can move on, because it's all the grudges or hatred they're keeping inside is making them dense and keeping them on a lower vibration.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've been working with the UFOs and ETs for over 25 years.
I know. It's
all
fantastic.
I have never found anything negative. It's always been benevolent, that they're wonderful, loving people. And I get a lot of feedback when I do UFO conferences. They say, well, that's impossible, because they hear the negative side. But that's coming from the person and their own emotion. It's not the real story. But,
correct.
You know, if they want to believe it, of course it's going to be real to them. But I've just not found anything like that.
I haven't either. I've never experienced anything negative. It's the person's fear that puts them into that negative-looking kind of situation. It's like, because they don't know what's going on, so they're afraid. Every time I've been seeing ships since, you know, like I was taken up at 4 years old, but I remember the next one I saw was 15 years old. I always have been in awe of them, never in fear. I was driving with a girlfriend of mine, and it was daylight, and I get out of the car, and I see this, like, one block away hovering a ship with square windows, and it was a ball of light, like, and I went, wow, look at that. And Pam gets out of the car, and she freaked out. She screamed, ran in the house, ran up the stairs, slammed the door, and didn't come out of her room for 3 days.
3 days?
And I'm like, oh, I hope Pam is okay. And her boyfriend comes up to me and says, do not ever mention the situation to Pam ever or any of us again. And I went, whoa. And I went, that was a really cool thing I saw, you know. So the point is, I've never been in fear.
Some people just can't take it because of that.
Fear
makes them afraid of anything they don't understand. That's what I found in my work. They said fear is the strongest emotion a human has. And if you don't understand it, you're going to fear it. That's
right.
Why I try to help them to understand what's going on, and then it takes the fear away.
Exactly.
Hopefully.
And I've been saying that fear is the opposite of love, you know?
Yes, that's what they say.
Yeah. And
said the only thing
that's
real is love.
Right. So it's their fear, I think, that causes a negative situation. Because, like I said, I've never experienced anything negative. If anything, I've experienced negative humans more than anything on the other, the star beings that I've met. And I've met many races. Nibiru's come to me, and they've always been, you know, full of love. But I wanted to say another point where that's one of the reasons I wrote the book was, you know, a lot of this fear and this negativity that you see about ETs is made up by Hollywood. They're sensationalizing the negative
and putting
everybody in fear. So I have that in my introduction talking about that's all Hollywood made up. It's all made up by Hollywood.
Yeah.
So people think that they're brainwashed.
The,
Go ahead.
I want to go with that. Well, we say in the book, fear is for entertainment purposes only.
Oh, I love it.
I know, it's an illusion.
Yeah.
For entertainment purposes.
Because I was told it has to do with the person's emotions, that they are afraid of something, they color it, and they distort it with their emotions so that what they're remembering is not what really happened at all.
Right.
That's why when the hypnosis, we have to peel that away to get to what really happened, and it's not at all what they thought it was. when they say they see that, they said, well, then now I understand. I don't have to be afraid of it.
Right.
But that's how strong the human mind is that creates all of these things.
Right. Yeah, like I said, I've never been in fear. So at times, things seem like a Twilight Zone-like movie, where it's like, what is going on? This is, like, you know, unreal. Like, I went to New Orleans. Like, I heard the voice tell me I was actually coming back from a performance in Kansas, and I was living in Florida. It said, stop in New Orleans. Now, I have never been there, so I said, okay. So I was real drawn to go. And I get to the French Quarters, and all of a sudden, I see, like, 10 to 15 people that I knew, but I don't know them. And I'm like, wait a minute, I know I've hung out with you, but I don't know where and when. And I kept, every place I looked, I go, oh, I know you too. I know that person. I know that person. It was the strangest. It was like Twilight Zone. And then I walked.
Did they know you also? Or?
What's that?
Did they know you also? Or
no, I looked at them right in their eye, and I said, hello. And they said, no, they didn't recognize me at all. And
okay.
And that, yeah, and then you know, it was just even normal people, like just a person standing by the bus stop, and it was like, I know that person too. And I said, oh. And I walked into this coffee shop on the way out to get some coffee for the road, and this group of men were talking at this table, and they all turned around and looked at me, and the one guy says, oh, she's a drummer. And I looked at them, and they all said, oh, okay. And I said, I didn't recognize them at all, but they recognized me. So it was like, okay, what is going on here?
Maybe you're getting around more than you think you are.
I guess. My mother's from, not New Orleans, but she's from Louisiana, and they say it runs in the family. So my mother, they've been contacting her, too, throughout our whole life. She would call me and say, okay, you know they're here. I said, yeah, I do know they're here, Mom. They would call us out of the house and tell us to, let's go for a ride. I mean, really, that's exactly what they would say.
Well, if I investigated cases like that where it goes for several generations, grandmother, mother, and child, are all, it just keep, like they're studying the members of the same family, really.
Mm. Well, they
so
said I was part of the family.
Like that.
They said that me and my mother were part of the Syrian family, and when I was in that last session with Nina Anderson, the regression session, my mother was there. I met her. She said, yes, the reason, she made me cry. She goes, the reason I came down here was to bring you in. And I went, oh, and I just,
that
tears
makes sense.
Just like flowed out of my eyes like rivers of tears, you know, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And she was in this, she was beautiful, pink golden light being, and it was just beautiful.
Uh-huh. I understand this more than the average person would anyway. But what do you mean on your paper here about continuous ascension?
That we're constantly shifting. It's not, people constantly ask me, they go, well, when is the shift stuff going to end? I said, it's not going to end. We're going into the higher light and the higher vibration. And it's exciting, and they go, oh, I don't like it. I go, just ride the wave and stop fighting it, and you will just, you know, feel so much better, because we are going into a higher light and a better world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I tell them.
Because we were in London on December the 21st, you know, 2012, when everything was supposed to end and all of that. And, of course, nothing happened, and we knew it wasn't going to happen.
Right.
But then afterwards, where I've done lectures, they'll say, well, nothing happened. And they're waiting for some big traumatic thing. And we keep saying it's not going to happen that way. It's very gradual and very subtle. But we're in the middle of it right now. It's already happening.
Yeah, it's been happening. I mean, right before 2012, December 21st, I mean, I felt the time was really speeding up, really shifting, and like everybody does think it's all going to happen at one day, something's going to happen one day. No, it's slowly, gradually, you know, coming to, a point and then shifting from there. So, and I knew for 2 decades, because I've been down in the Mayan lands for over 2 decades, talking and doing ceremony with the shamans, and not one Mayan shaman said the world was ever going to end. It was all made up by the doom and gloom people, you know. And the year that January of 2012, that's when a voice came in and says, I was praying, actually, and I said, I'm so tired of this fear and this doom and gloom, these lies about the 2012. We are supposed to be celebrating this time. This is supposed to be a beautiful, loving time. And the voice comes in, he goes, well, you know this information. You talk about it. So I did that whole year. I did, and I made people feel so much at ease, whoever came to my talks. And they thanked me, and they said, oh, thank you. And I felt the whole room full of love, you know, filled with love. And it was like, phew, you know, God, you know. I told them, no, we're not going to end. The axes are not going to shift, you know. None of that's all going to happen. And they, you know, I see them every once in a while, whoever comes, when I was doing some in Sedona, they go, you were right, Thunderbeat. I said, well, yeah. I mean,
it would be terrible to live in that kind of fear that they were dreading that date because something terrible was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then what do? The next morning? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm still here. Nothing happened.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, that's what, the Mayans say that this is the time for celebration.
Yeah, it is. Well, we're getting the same information. It's just coming in different ways. But to me, that always adds validity. That shows it's real, or why would we be getting the same information?
Absolutely.
And it's coming through everybody I work with and the emails we get. Everybody, it's like they're all beginning to wake up. Not all, but the majority of the ones who were really...
Well, you can see a major shift happening.
In the consciousness of the people and what they're believing and understanding.
Right.
I told one journalist about my book when I was working on it. It was almost done. And he said, well, good luck telling the people about the benevolent beings out there, you know, very sarcastically. And I said, well, somebody's got to do it.
Right.
So we're on the same page anyway, and that's the important thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Now we
I adore you.
When I find other people who are getting the same information. We're coming down to the wire, but the name of your Deborah's book is Look Up, isn't it? Is that the name?
Yes. Look Up. You can Google My Encounters with ETs and Angels. Or you can go to my website, thunderbeat.com, and download it for $7 in full color. I have a lot of pictures in it of space crafts and beings and things like that. And or you can go to amazon.com. It's there, you know.
Look Up. Mm-hmm. And My Encounters with ETs and Angels by Deborah Thunderbeat.
Right.
And... Deborah, if people want to get a hold of you and communicate with you, how do you want them to do it?
They can go to my website and either call me, and my phone number's on there, or email me. It's probably too much information to tell on the phone. Either they can go. I have etsandangels.com or thunderbeat.com.
Okay, I just want to make sure you spelled it out so they can get to it then.
Yeah.
And that way they can contact you there if they want to talk about their own experiences.
Absolutely. I'm getting incredible, wonderful feedback. People are thanking me, saying, I don't feel crazy anymore. You've explained so clearly.
That sounds like half of the emails I get.
Right.
But I have so many people talking about their ET experiences, and I just don't have time to answer all these emails. I read them, but I can't answer them. So I don't want people to feel hurt out there.
Oh, I know.
So if they tell you, you know, you'd be the same stories, and I think it helps to have a sympathetic ear there.
Absolutely. And then, you know, if they read the book, I just said, you can send me a testimony, and I'll put it up on the website, you know, with their name and if they want to be up there. But a lot of people are saying, God, I learned so much from your book. It opens my eyes. I don't feel so afraid anymore. The fear is not there. I'm just loving that.
Yeah, I get so much of that. They said, I'm not all alone. I'm not crazy.
Well, and I think the fearing, I think that's one of the biggest contributions or the most, biggest contributions that we can make, I feel, because it's to eliminate that fear or greatly dilute it, because that is the robber of energy as far as I'm concerned.
Right, it's slowing us down. Totally. Mm-hmm. It's
some of the emails
vibration.
Are pitiful. They think they're all by themselves, and they want to kill themselves because nobody understands. You know, Deborah, I think I'll forward a lot of these ET cases to you and let you handle them then.
Absolutely. Whatever I can answer and handle, I will be totally willing to do that.
Because I don't have time, but... I'll forward them to you. If you want to put them on your website, at least people will see that they are getting attention.
Yeah, well, I would be honored to do that and help out as much as I can, sure. And I just want to say I adore you, and your knowledge is, I thank you so much that bringing this knowledge to the world, because we need that. We need more of that, you know.
Of course, if I start sending you things, you might start getting mad at me. I didn't want her to send me so much.
Well, I can just answer what I can, and at least it'll be something, you know.
At least they have a showcase that way, because we don't have any place on ours that we can show the emails that come in, you know, yeah. The stories. Okay, we're going to have to sign off. So I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
Well, thank you. I'm, like I said, I feel very honored to be on your show.
And I wish you a success with the book and with your lectures and with your music, your beautiful music. I wish you a lot of success with all of that.
Thank you. And I will probably see you at another UFO conference soon.
Probably. I know we're going to run into each other again.
Or maybe just teetotaling through Sedona.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we're going to have to sign off now. So thank you, and thanks, everyone, for listening. Good night, everybody.
Make it great.